Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. What's up, guys? Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so stoked that you're here. Today, we're going to get into some really different ways of living. And one of these ways of living is actually living in a van. I don't know. Could you do this? I'm really curious. If you could live in a van, screenshot this episode, tag me on Instagram, let me know. I've got to see how many people out there would actually choose this lifestyle. And I think it's so interesting because it's a different way of living. It can save a ton of money and it gets you outdoors so you can go experience some new things and, you know, just try something different. So I thought that was really interesting. And that's what today's episode is talking about. I had the chance to sit down with Matt and Allie Owen from owenyourfuture.com, and they live in a van named Clifford, which is amazing, right? But before we dive into that, let me share one of my favorite money wins. This one is from Kelsey. Kelsey is one of my coaching clients, and I am so freaking proud of her because she made the final payment on her credit card. Kelsey, I hand heart you. You're amazing. And I'm so, so proud of all of your hard work so far. Congratulations to you. Guys, if you want to connect with other people and just meet, I don't know, other money nerds, there's a lot of us in this group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss. I know I talk about it a lot, but it's a really good place to hang out. And I think you will find your people in that group too. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Matt and Allie Owen recently left their six-figure engineering jobs to travel the world in their self-converted sprinter van, Clifford. For the past 4 years, they've saved 70% of their income through house hacking, minimalism, and travel hacking. They love to share their journey on their YouTube channel, Owen Your Future. In this episode, we talk about why they actually saved 70%. What was the motivation behind that? Growing three businesses at the same time, living in the converted sprinter van, what does that actually look like? You know, how do you live in a van and not kill each other? I mean, pretty sure Tony and I, we would be divorced. We're not even married yet, but we would certainly be divorced if we lived in a van together. I'm pretty confident. They have a goal that they're working towards right now too, which is pretty cool, of only spending $40,000 per year. And that's in order to help them reach financial independence as well. We talk about logistics behind showering and bathroom breaks when you're living in a van. A little complicated, right? So they share how they actually do this kind of stuff. Tips for people that are considering the van life and how they were able to improve their mindset when they were working their engineering jobs as well. I thought that was really interesting. Mindset is truly everything. In the show notes, guys, there's a link so you can actually take a tour of their van. It's on YouTube. It's really kind of fun. You get to see all kinds of fun stuff. And there's also a link in the show notes for free campsites that they mentioned. This was such a fun episode, very, very different than the norm. I hope you enjoy it. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to Matt and Allie Owen from owenyourfuture.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today, I am so excited to be joined by Allie and Matt Owen from owenyourfuture.com. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out today.
Thank you, Whitney, for having us. Yeah, we're excited to be here.
I am like loving everything that you guys are up to. So I think it's super, super kick-ass. I love that you have been very frugal and able to save 70% of your income for 3 years now. Can you tell us, Matt, how did you guys actually make that happen?
So just a little background on us. When we were living in California, before we moved into the spinner van or started traveling the country, we worked as engineers in Bakersfield, California. So we were definitely helped that we had, you know, higher than average incomes. But we were also just very intentional about where we spent our money and what we spent it on, and tried to really focus on things that brought us a lot of value. So we had a pretty big travel budget, but we were able to, you know, slash everything else, going out, groceries, our housing expenses, our car expenses, all of that kind of to the bone. So
dang. Yeah. And you mentioned you both are engineers. Is it both petroleum?
I am petroleum. Matt is mechanical.
Right. Yeah, we did work for oil and gas companies, though.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I love that you're both engineers. I think conversations would be hilarious and probably so off the charts sometimes. My fiance is a mechanical engineer, and then my little brother is also mechanical. So sometimes their normal conversations, I'm like, who talks about, like, what is this? It's really awesome. I think it's so cool.
A lot of figuring stuff out and trying to figure out how stuff works and how we can make it more optimized and better.
Much optimization.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I went on a road trip going camping last weekend, and my little brother the whole time is like, you know, when they do these roads, blah, blah, blah. And he's like going through everything. I'm like, I see. Okay, cool. Right on.
Yeah, I got it. Cool.
It was so funny. So both engineers, both making a fairly decent income, I can imagine. So why save 70%? What was the draw there?
I think we just saw how tied down we were to our 9-to-5s, and that, you know, Matt was working like 14-hour days with an hour commute, and it was just not a lifestyle that we loved. I mean, the jobs were fine. You know, they had their benefits, and I think it was just the lifestyle that we felt kind of trapped. And we also did not want to be in Bakersfield. We did not love the city that it was in. And we felt kind of stuck there because our jobs were there and we were making these high salaries. And yeah, I think we just craved some more freedom in our lives to be able to kind of plan our day as we want and work on things that really bring us joy in our businesses and in our lives. So that kind of sparked just a little bit of, I guess, unsatisfaction in just the lifestyle of it, sparked some questions.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that too. We get to this point where we think life will be a certain way, and then it's not quite what we expect, or it's not the life we dreamed of. So it's time to make some changes. So tell me a little bit about the three businesses that you guys started initially as a side hustle. What the heck's going on there? Most people can barely do one.
Yeah, we're overachievers and also not very smart. I would not recommend other people do this at all.
How come?
Because your focus is really segmented. So it's really hard to grow three businesses all at once. So we can kind of focus on one business at a time and grow that while the other two are in maintenance. But it's really hard to push three forward at the same time, which is what we've learned.
It is hard.
So it is. It's hard to do one business and a job and just one business by itself. And we were doing three businesses and full-time jobs. And
oh
so,
my gosh.
Would not recommend.
Yeah, I don't think it was very effective.
No.
So we spun our wheels a lot. Yeah, just kind of the, what's it called? Between like changing between tasks and everything, just kind of lose focus and trying to keep all the ball in the air. It was very challenging. So now that we don't have our full-time jobs, I'm hoping we can manage all three a little better. But like Ali said, it's going to be more of, you know, a singular focus on one, trying to grow and develop that business and just trying to do kind of the maintenance bare minimum with the other ones so they don't slide backwards and kind of rotating that through businesses as we see opportunities and need.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we have Own Your Future, which is what we're going to do all of our travel and kind of lifestyle stuff on. We also talk a lot about finances and do some personal coaching for finances, specifically targeted towards couples. Because finances are such an issue today, especially in relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that me and Allison really kind of lucked out with. I don't know. We kind of clicked on that level early on that we wanted to be frugal and had these plans for our finances. And I think that really allowed us, our relationship, to grow really well and, you know, avoids a lot of conflict when you're rowing the same direction with your personal finance and personal goals.
Take me back to that. How did you guys start to initially have those conversations when you were dating?
So I discovered Mr. Money Mustache.
Oh, yes.
In 2015, early 2015. And we had just started dating, and I sent the links to Matt. I was like, oh, this guy's interesting. Like, let's, and he just like read the entire blog. I think he read every single post.
I did, for sure.
And that kind of idea kind of sparked in us, or just like seeing someone else do something different and unconventional, kind of sparked a lot of conversations. And it was, I mean, the year before we were dating, we both pretty much spent like all of our income So which is definitely, and even that first year of like discovering Mr. Money Mustache and trying to make changes, we were still spending like
80 grand, yeah.
80 grand a year. Yeah. Gotcha. And so it was definitely not just like, oh, we discovered Mr. Money Mustache and we slashed all our expenses and like made all these changes and it happened overnight. Like it took years of kind of trying things out, seeing what works for us. Cause I don't think there's one recipe for anyone in their personal finances. Like everyone has to really figure out what brings them value and what brings them joy in their life. And if that's worth, you know, spending money on for them, then they should. But I think just really evaluating and being conscious of spending started in 2015. And then we just kind of slowly made changes.
Yeah. So it's a good point. It definitely does take a lot of time to, you know, steer the ship. Mm-hmm. It's not an overnight flip the switch kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think me and Alice just kind of went through an exercise that we now do with our coaching clients and really getting clear on what we wanted our future life to look like and what we really valued. We were spending a lot on travel and we really like experiences and things like that. So we talked more and more about how we can set our life up in a way that is kind of the center.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of led us to where we are today. But yeah, we really, you know, our message is just make sure you know that you're working towards what you actually value in life and you're not getting caught up in the, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and doing what everybody else is doing. Because even in our circle of friends, other engineers in the oil industry, all making really high incomes, they're more like us that first year.
Yeah.
They're all spending, you know, everything they make, lifestyle inflation totally has taken hold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like they're doing that just because that's what everybody else is doing and not because that's what's truly aligned with what they want to do.
Yeah. Reach it, my friend, right? Don't we all fall into that trap sometimes? It's crazy.
Yeah. It's easy to do.
It
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah. You think you need the new car. You think you need the new house. You think you need all these clothes and you really don't need a lot to be happy.
It's true. And I like that you guys discovered that early on too in your marriage. I think that's real cool because what a sweet life. And now you guys are living in a converted Sprinter van. Okay. What gives? How did this decision come up? Whose idea was it? And how did this all come about?
So first we knew we were going to quit our jobs and we kind of thought we were going to go on a sailboat. That was kind of the goal. But sailing is really hard. We don't know how to sail. And we also were like trying to build our businesses. So we didn't want to be kind of off the grid for a while and also like learning all these new skills. So we were like, well, what else can we do? So we thought, okay, let's get an RV or something. Let's just travel around the US. And so we went and we looked at RVs and we found one that we liked. We wanted one really with really good gas mileage and we found one that we liked, but it was like 60 grand. And we were like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Cause we wanted one that got like 20 miles to the gallon. Cause most RVs get like 8. And so we were like, I don't want to be spending, you know, thousands of dollars a month on gas.
Right. So we were going to cover some ground. Like we started in California a week and a half ago. We're in South Carolina right now.
Yeah.
So awesome. Family reunion.
Yeah.
And then we're probably going to make our way, you know, north and back west again. So it's going to be a decent amount of ground covered.
Oh, for sure.
So 8 miles a gallon was a little daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
Yeah. So we started looking at, we found an RV. Yeah. The RV got like 20 miles to the gallon but that was 60 grand. We were like, oh, like, I don't want to spend so much cash on something, that we're not sure how long we're going to be in. You know, we don't want to be stuck into something where we feel like we have to do this for the next 3 years. If we want to go sailing next year, like we want to be able to go sailing. So we found the van community because the Sprinter vans get really good gas mileage and you can get one. Our van cost 9 grand and we had to put 5 grand worth of work into it. And then our conversion cost was about 10 grand. So, and it gets like 20 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
So yeah, so it really was the economical choice and that's how we kind of saw it. We also had to put a month and a half of work into converting it. So that's not accounting like labor costs. We didn't pay ourselves for that.
Totally, right? Free labor?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of how we got on the van.
I love it. I think this is so cool. Was the first week, did you have any doubts as you were going through the van life where you're like, did we actually make the right decision?
I think we had, so we had kind of a traumatic experience happen with our finances a couple days before we left, where our cryptocurrency accounts got hacked and like a couple thousand dollars got taken out of there. And so that, I think, sent us into like a fear mindset where we were just like, oh my gosh, did we make the right choice? Like, you know, our cryptocurrency strategy was like, we'll only put in there what we would be okay with losing. Mm-hmm. But it was still like, we were scared because we weren't bringing in income like consistently at the time. So we were just, I think that was more than like that was really the focus of our minds, more than like the
logistics of the van life.
Yeah.
It wasn't super challenging. I think like we actually really enjoyed it. We spent our first couple nights just like, you know, camping for free.
Yeah.
In National Forest Service land and like Utah and Colorado as we made our way across. Uh-huh. So like that was really great. But yeah, the whole like identity theft issue, because they also got a hold of like our Gmail accounts.
And yeah.
Trying to buy stuff on eBay and credit cards. And it was like a disaster because we were traveling with like internet cell service.
Yeah.
Trying to
manage. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So that was how our adventure started.
It was a disaster.
Oh yeah, it was a struggle.
Sounds like it. It's like get all the bad stuff out of the way first, and then hopefully it's smooth sailing after.
We also thought we were gonna have to replace the engine like 2 weeks before that because we were seeing some more mechanical issues, and we were like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have to do a full engine replacement, which would have been like $5,000, and that was also like stressful. So I feel like I'm hoping that we've gotten the worst out of the way with, and it's all like up from here.
We're just being tested.
Yeah,
that's right. So it always goes.
So. Yeah.
And how long have you guys lived in the van now?
Now, well, we were living in it when we were converting it, but that was like on my mom's driveway. So it's been like,
So guys, out of all the places you've been, what is each of your favorite locations that were maybe a little bit unsuspecting, but was really, I don't know, kind of sentimental and fun for each of you?
I really loved Utah, and I think we're definitely going to go back and explore some more. We had to kind of book it across the U.S. We were in California, and we had this family reunion on June 9th, so we left May 30th, I think. Yeah. So it was a pretty quick trip, but yeah, we spent a day in Bryce Canyon, and it was really gorgeous, so I'm excited to go back and explore more.
It's stunning there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that part of Utah is really great. We spent a lot of time in Colorado because that's where I'm from. So we visited a friend in Montrose and went up to Telluride, and then stayed with my mom in Carbondale, kind of near Aspen, and drove over Independence Pass. And like all of that area is kind of
so home gorgeous.
For me. And yeah, it's really, really nice.
Yeah. So. You're like driving and there's like a waterfall on the side, and we were just like pulling over and going and walking through these waterfalls. It was so pretty.
That is so amazing. And now you're in South Carolina for the family reunion. Yeah. And then where are you headed after this?
We're going to head north. So we want to go through Canada. And so we're going to just head straight up the East Coast. And we also want to visit Maine.
Go to Arcadia
Maine, National
and
Park.
And then probably go across into Canada and start heading back west again.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Back around like Utah, Colorado area in September.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's a good time too. The weather will be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely chasing good weather.
Yeah. We don't have AC.
It's been a little
in
toasty in South Carolina.
Oh, so. Dang.
We're definitely, yeah, we have fans, like a fan circulating system, but no AC. So we're definitely chasing good weather.
I would too. I don't blame you. That's crazy, but awesome. Yeah, I think the lifestyle flexibility, totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I really want to dive into, guys, because I think this is super cool, is that you're on this mission of only spending $40,000 this year. And I mean, I presume that includes gas and everything. So can you tell us, like, how did this goal come about? And then what steps are you actually taking to make this happen?
Yeah. So when we first kind of started down the road to like financial independence, you know, everybody has like that 4% rule that's really common for people to figure out how much they need to to live on. And we'd kind of always figured, okay, we could spend like $40,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And then we'd only need like $1 million, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where that number came from, I think. And like we've been reviewing our expenses every month for the last like 3 years. And that's kind of how we stay on top of what we're spending and have been able to really drive our expenses down. So we decided this year we were going to take a challenge to see if we could do it for $40,000 a year, mm-hmm. and what that would look like and what our lives would look like. So far we've been on track. Mm-hmm. Obviously we're just kind of counting living expenses. Like we spent a lot of money on converting the van.
Yeah.
But that's now like our house. So
yeah,
we didn't really wrap that in, just kind of our gas, food, all of our entertainment, anything we spend money on.
Phones, kind of right, insurance. Yeah.
All that stuff.
Gotcha. So you, with the van, so you mentioned that part, the conversion piece isn't included, which makes sense. I get that. Yeah. You're not going to have that expense every year, hopefully. So then what's the biggest chunk of income, or what's the biggest expense for you guys right now?
We don't have a lot of expenses right now.
So this is we've only been in the van for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So our lives have really been in like transition over the last month and a half.
Yeah.
So it's been very uncharacteristic. So I'm interested to see what this month works out to.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the van, it's going to be mostly like groceries and gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We stay at, there's this website, freecampsites.net. Anyone can actually use it. You don't have to have a van. Like if you just camp, you can go there and it shows you National Forest and BLM land that's free to camp on.
What?
And yeah, they're pretty like primitive. They don't have bathrooms or, showers. But yeah, it's like a campsite that you can just pull up to for free. You don't have to have a permit or anything, and they're all over the US. So we've just been using that website to find campsites along the way. We've done one Walmart parking lot, which is not ideal, but they're free to camp out too. So
nice. So you're going through, you're finding the campsites. Mm-hmm. How long are you going to stay in like a specific location? How do you plan that part?
So we just kind of want to go where the weather takes us. And if we want to stay longer in certain places, we want to allow ourselves to kind of have the flexibility to stay longer.
Gotcha.
That's what we've been kind of craving from leaving the 9-to-5s, is just like not having a plan and like not having to be stuck in some place for some period of time. So
that's cool.
Now we're just going to kind of take it by ear.
Right by ear.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. So let's dive into your backgrounds. Allie, what was money talked about like when you were growing up?
So I grew up in a very privileged household. My parents were divorced. And so money was always talked about when I needed to get money from my dad.
Gotcha.
And so it was kind of, it was always like a source of conflict. And I always had to like prove why I needed money. And I don't know. I felt like I had this great childhood and this great life. But it wasn't without, I guess, conflict around money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that I look at like my parents and I think, they spent a lot of money, and, looking, I'm just like, I would never spend that much money on my child.
Totally.
And while I like totally appreciate it and totally like, love it, I don't know if that made my, like, of spending all that money on me made my childhood that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, I think, sometimes also money was used as a replacement for time, because my parents were divorced. I didn't get to see my dad a lot. And so I think he felt like if he paid for everything, then I should be happy. I don't necessarily like need all the time with him. Time is something I hugely value. And now my relationship with Matt is like just spending time together. That's like one of my love languages. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's really interesting. Yeah. And I also appreciate you sharing that even though you grew up in what we would maybe deem a privileged house, it's like that's not without its struggles. There's still certain problems and issues that arise from everybody's situation. So I think that's cool. I appreciate you sharing that. Matt, what about for you? How was money talked about or taught when you were younger?
So my parents were definitely savers. My dad was very DIY, like tried to do everything himself to save as much money as possible. Always like fixed our own cars if we could. And he was very capable at woodworking and things like that, other house projects. So I think I picked up a lot of that from him because I feel like I insource a lot of stuff. Pretty much anything I can do myself, I try to, which has its own struggles when it comes to business. And outsourcing has some advantages and is necessary at points. But yeah, both of my parents were pretty middle class, like blue collar. My father was a police officer. My mother was a waitress. So my family didn't make a lot of money. And I think that's why we kind of DIY'd stuff.
That's cool.
But they're also very, my dad was pretty frugal, saved a lot of money. But they always took us on scuba dive vacations. My dad was a dive master in a early on in his life.
That's amazing.
So I think they really taught me to value experiences over things in a way, which obviously I feel like I'm living now. So I definitely picked that up in my childhood.
That is so cool.
Lived in a ski town, so you would ski all the time.
Super outdoorsy family then.
Yeah,
they did. They loved to hike and backpack. They definitely believed that kids were portable and took us along with them on, you know, whatever adventures they wanted to have. They didn't really let having kids slow them down on, you know, knocking those things off their bucket list. So
respect. I love that. I always think that's so cool to see parents getting their kids involved from a young age. I just love it. This has been so amazing. So I want to talk about your YouTube channel because I think this is so cool. And I think it's a really fun way for people to get to know each of you further. So tell us a little bit about the YouTube channel. What are you working on there?
Yeah, so we are doing a weekly YouTube video where we just show what life is like living in the van and where we're traveling to and how we are spending our money. Also, we're going to do monthly expense reports on how much X or Y or Z costs. And also just sharing like how we're funding our health insurance, how we're just doing a lot of the basic questions, where we shower, where we go to the bathroom, like these questions that a lot of people have when they're like, you live in a van, you know, like, where do you, how does this work? You don't have a job, like per se, like how do you do all these things? So yeah, we're just going to kind of share what that is like in our experience and hopefully inspire and empower others to live their own version of their truth and freedom.
I love it. I think that's so cool. I like the behind the scenes look too, because yeah, you're spot on. People are always like, how do you shower and where's, what is the bathroom sitch? So give us a little like taste of like, how do you actually do those things?
So we've been lucky so far. We've just been showering at friends' houses along the way and family's houses and using the bathroom in gas stations and fast food restaurants. And but we have a gym membership to Planet Fitness, which has gyms all over the country. So in the future, when we are in places where we don't have friends and family, that is where we will shower.
That's so cool. Real smart.
Yeah.
How much is Planet Fitness too? Side note.
It's $20 a month for both of us.
Wow.
It's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And so we get a workout. So we promised ourselves we have to work out if we go into the gym.
Yeah.
You can't be those people.
So health and fitness goals also.
That's right. You gotta be well balanced. I get that.
If you want to shower, you have to lift some weights.
That's like your incentive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. I love it. And then with your website, owinyourfuture.com, what kinds of topics? I mean, obviously you talk a little bit about money for sure. What other topics do you talk about on the blog?
So in the past, we've talked about like how we did our wedding on a budget and
honeymoon,
how we travel hacked our honeymoon. We talk about some travel hacking strategies on how to get cheap or reduced expenses on your travel. What else do we talk about? Our monthly expense report. We're gonna do a van build series, so like showing how we built our van. We recorded it all, so that should actually be out by the time this episode comes out.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm literally stoked about that. For almost a year I wanted to live the van life.
Yeah,
and I thought it would be so much fun, but I I decided against it for now, but yeah. I am living vicariously through each of you. So I feel like I've
definitely of both worlds. Uncomfortable. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think I think that's also something we want to accomplish, like with our brand, is not just showing like the sunny, perfectly curated side of things, like the real life kind of stuff that goes down, that you have to deal with. And it's harder. Everything is kind of harder when you're dealing with some, like for instance, our, data breach, dealing with that on the road was like 30 times harder than if we, you know, had a constant source of Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. We had service all the time. We were in like a comfortable location in a house. So yeah, that's, we kind of want to share the details of it all, not just the pretty pictures.
I appreciate that. I think a lot of people want to see a more authentic, real side of the people behind the brand. So I think that's really pretty impressive. I love everything that you guys are doing. You are both rock stars. If somebody's listening in and they are hearing what you're saying and they're nodding along and they want to maybe do something similar to what you're up to, where do they start? What tips do you guys have?
So I would say first, get clear about what you really want, and whether it, you know, I think a lot of times it's easy to look at other people's lives and be like, oh, that looks so great, like I want that. But really ask yourself, like, do you really in your core want that? Because if you don't want it, like, that's okay. You know, not everyone is going to want to live in a van, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you might have a goal to pay off debt and to be completely debt free, or to travel to South America, or, you know, some type of goal. Just get really clear on like what you actually want. And I think for us, like, meditation has helped, and journaling, and really like letting it out, and trying also sometimes like quieting the outer voices of like what other people are saying, and just trying to listen to that innate voice. Because first I would, yeah, totally recommend getting clear on what you really want, and what, and if you, you know, and what that means for you. And then once you get there, like, create a plan of how am I going to reach that goal, and what do I need to do to get there? Who do I need to become to be there? I think for us, it required a lot of inner work to become people who were brave enough and to leave our jobs and to leave the security of high income and house and everything that people tell you you're supposed to want. So it took a lot of, like, we hired coaches to help us through all of that, and read a lot of books and listened to a lot of podcasts, and so doing the work to get there.
Yeah, I like it. There's definitely an element of personal development that's wrapped in with, you know, achieving your goals, and especially financial goals. Just the mindset piece of money is supremely important.
Matt, how do you recommend people start to build up their mindset? Ali talked about some like podcasts and filling your mind full of positive things. Do you have any additional tips that work for you?
Podcast was definitely a game changer for me because I had that huge commute. So it was an hour one way for me to get to. So I was driving 2 hours a day in the car. And when I swapped from listening to the radio to listening to podcasts, like, I really just started feeding my brain and like having, you know, this car education every single day. And that really, I think, changed my life. So just surrounding myself with good ideas, good motivation, and just kind of feeding my brain with that stuff was probably the biggest single thing that I think empowered me to be able to do this.
Yeah. I did. They say you're a combination of the, what, six people you surround yourself with. And so we just surrounded ourselves with podcasts that were like people, and listened to conversations of people who were at the point of where we wanted to be.
Because it can be hard to find those people in your circles or in your town, depending on where you live. So nothing says you can't surround yourself with some virtual friends that, you know, lift you up and inspire you to be, you know, a better version of yourself.
I dig it. I think this is so cool. Guys, thank you so, so much for your time. I've had a true blast chatting with you and learning from you. Everybody go check out owenyourfuture.com. It's amazing. I'm particularly excited about the YouTube channel. So props on that, guys. I know it's a ton of work, but it's really exciting that you're sharing this little side of your life. So thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Whitney. This is really fun.
All right. What did you think? Did you enjoy this episode? I personally really got a lot of value from it. I thought it was so interesting. I still don't know if I could do the van life even after listening to their story. I love the idea of it. I don't know, guys. I'm on this journey to minimalism, but I don't know if I'm quite that far into it yet. So maybe give me 2 more years and we'll talk again soon. But thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate your time and all of your podcast love. It means the world to me, and all of your reviews are amazing. It's been helping the podcast tremendously. So keep them coming and keep sharing this episode and this podcast with somebody that you care about. I appreciate it, and I know that they do as well. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.